We're blessed to be here together. Amen?
Amen.
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 This is my favorite day of the week. My Sunday fun day. Who sang that, Dad? The Bengals?
Sunday.
Yeah, that was a manic Monday. I wish it was Sunday, because that's my fun day. This is my fun day. I hope it's your fun day, too. Now I'm going to have to listen to that song. It's going to be in my head. I hope you all had a blessed week. Amen. And we know April did. We know the Evans did. They had an anointed week with birthday celebrations, with revival, camp meetings. Yesterday we're reminded, aren't we, of the importance of last week's message of being united and how much our world, our nation's divided, how much more important it is for us as followers of Jesus Christ to be the beacon of hope, to be the beacon of light, and be the beacon of unity as an example to our nation. Amen. It says in Psalms 57, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to you. Awake my glory, awake the harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise and give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praise to you among the nations, for your faithfulness and loving kindness are great. Reaching to the heavens and your truth into the clouds, be exalted above the heavens, O Lord, and let your glory and majesty be over all the earth. Awaken my glory, awaken harp and lyre, and we will praise and give thanks this morning." Amen. Prayer requests this morning. Glad to have Marcia after her successful surgery on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Continue to pray for you and your family. Continue to pray for your family. Yep. Continue to pray for her brother and sister. Yes. She's ready. The journey that she's going on to see the Lord. Be praying for his sister. Continue to pray for Pastor Jeff and Tina. They're remodeling, making it easier for Tina to get Pastor Jeff in and out of that shower. But it seems to be going very well. And his progress, continued progress. Is there any other prayer requests? I know we have praises too. Praising, continue praising Tina and Bobby. Their protection the Lord has given them. Just think about that all week long. We're just thankful. Yes, Robert. 3 years. Look at that victory in Jesus. Look at that. For Robin, their sister-in-law, and Candy. Let's go to the Lord and prepare our hearts for this time of worship and praise this morning. Heavenly Father, we are reminded of your sovereignty. We're reminded this morning of your glory that deserves our reverence, your glory that deserves us to walk into this presence of your Holy Spirit in this place with great anticipation of what you have prepared for us this morning, Lord. And I pray that as each one of us, that we come into this time with anticipation in our hearts, that we open up our heart, our mind, and our spirit to receive from you this morning. And with everything going on in the world around us, Lord, that shakes us up, the dissension, the division, the hatred that's saturating our culture right now. We set it aside and we know we can only turn to you in these moments. We turn to you for the truth. We turn to you for wisdom, Father. And we thank you that you are holy and that you are sovereign and that you are the same. You've been the same. You were the same yesterday. You're the same today. And you're going to continue to be the same in the future. And we need that consistency. We need that stability right now in our lives, in our nation. And we just thank you, we find that in you. We have a place to come to in your presence, that stillness. We give you praise for that. And we lift up all the prayer requests this morning, Lord, those that are asking for healing, those that are needing comfort, your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, hear our prayers. And we know that if we don't receive from you what it is that we come to you for, you're always going to give us something better because you are a good God. And your goodness, your kindness, and your loving kindness towards us, Lord, is unfailing. You are so faithful. And right now we pray over the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise, Lord. And we just thank you so much for the gifts that you've given them that they share with us each and every week. And the hands that have prepared your work of the church this week, Lord, to continue the mission of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, champions, a family of hope, turning point, celebrate recovery, Lord, as we partner with them to change lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. Strengthen them in the mission that you have placed in them and with us, because we are your disciples. We are your people to do the work you have called us to do where we're at here in this time and in this place. And let all the message that you have for us this morning equip us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, what's praise? It is not quiet. Amen? Amen. Let's hear it this morning.
Our greeting today is taken from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, that's our prayer to draw us close to you. We know that when we sit in the sanctuary, you sit there beside us. You are there for us, and that you hear everything that we ask from you. All the prayer concerns, all the needs of this community and this church. And we thank you for that. But you don't ask much of us. But you allow us to give something back to you so that we can further your kingdom here on earth. So bless these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, life is like a camera. Focus on what is important. Capture the good times. Develop the negatives. And if things don't work out, just take another shot. Amen? You know what? I saw a lot of smiles on that. But we want to brighten somebody's day every day. So there are some people that have sun inside them. It's hard to explain. Their presence just brightens. It's not about their beautiful smiles. They just have an internal being that sheds light and feels like sun. It's a calm energy, an inner peace. And just as important, it's not wanting anything back in return. It's just genuine warmth, like spiritual sunshine. Be like sunshine to someone today. Brighten their life by you being in it. Amen? You know, God does that for us. And he gives us the guidelines to do that with in your Bible. And he tells you about everything. He can tell you about the bad times when we need to take another shot, right? He tells you about the good times when we can spread that sunshine to somebody else. So take the time to be the good side that spreads the sunshine to somebody else. Because when I read the Bible, he spread that sunshine to me. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible." This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
every service, we recite, "This is my Bible," right? And I don't even know how long it's been since Pastor Jeff wrote that for us. How long? 14 years ago? 14 years ago, Pastor Jeff had wrote that. And we have a lot of new faces, don't we? Praise God. We have a lot of new faces. And I've gotten a lot of questions like, what does that mean? Especially the part where it says, "I'm the head and not the tail." So Candace is watching this morning, and you know, I don't try to call her out, but she was one of the ones. It's like, what does that mean? So good morning, Candace. Everybody say good morning, Candace. Very appropriate for us to kind of go through this prayer, this declaration. And I write this, so I hope you will write this also in your Bibles as you study and as you read it, as you learn from it. But this prayer is just as important in our independent scripture reading. And a prayerless approach to God's word can be compared to a prayerless approach to life. Would we ever think of approaching our lives without prayer? I mean, we see the evidence of the importance of that in our lives. At least I hope you've seen the importance of having a prayer life, the evidence of that connection to God, that communication with the Father. Approaching the Bible with a prayerful attitude, we acknowledge our dependence on Him. We engage our hearts and our minds to what the text, allowing it to take root in us. So the first part, this is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. Now, discussion. I love this, that it should, I think, and I don't know who we talk to, but it is the Word of God. It just doesn't contain the Word of God, right? It is the Word of God. And I loved how you said it to me was, I think it was meat. Like, you wouldn't eat meat if it packaging said that it contained meat. Because what else is in there? If meat was an ingredient to meat, that means there's something else in it, right? So this is the Word of God. It just doesn't contain the Word. It is the Word. Amen? Amen. So just a little thought. You can change it. I'll change it on my version. But for each line, Pastor Jeff had connected it to Scripture. So 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Not what God wants us to know, because we can receive a lot of knowledge, can't we, church? But what good is that knowledge if we're not putting it to good use, when we're doing it, when we're moving in it, when there's examples in our lives of our transformation through Jesus Christ, when we've taken in the word that God has given us and we do it. And that inspiration, it says all scripture is inspired by God. It refers to that process, how God oversaw the development and the construction of scripture, guiding the authors to write exactly what he wanted them to say. And the Greek word for inspired, it's translated to breathed out by God. And I love that definition, that the words being breathed out by the Father and received by the authors of the text. That God, through the Holy Spirit, used people like us. I mean, messed up people. They were not perfect, were they? I love that example. They were not perfect. But he used them. He breathed into them his word. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they wrote God's word for us, for generation after generation, being guided by the Holy Spirit. and it is a verbal inspiration. And God gave people visions, but he spoke to them. So it isn't just, you know, they're not writing from just their experience, but they're writing from a true God, his word. And in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, "For who knows a person's thought except his spirit within him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things, not in words taught by man, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people." So one of the things I always say is you don't go by what someone else tells you what the Bible says alone. Okay? And I said this a lot when I taught Sunday school to our little ones. You don't go by someone else's interpretation of what the Bible says, the world's interpretation of what the Bible says. You pick up your Bible and you read it for yourself, and you pray that the Holy Spirit comes into your presence and in that time and in that space and reveals to you what he is saying through his word. Now, there is nothing wrong with seeking wisdom, wisdom from a Christian person of what the Bible is trying to say. But you don't solely go by what someone else is telling you of what the Bible says. You cannot do that. You've got to test the spirits. The Bible tells us that too. And we're dependent on the Spirit to enable us to make that spiritual connection to God. Even though the Bible is God's revelation, we have to seek interpretations, because there's sometimes I'm reading it and I'm like, what? Let me go back. And that's why I love the chronological Bible study. I've missed it the last 2 weeks. I've missed you guys. One of the times David was off work. I'm sorry. You know, that is such a beautiful thing, that when you get together with other like-minded Christians and you go through the scripture, and on those parts where you're just kind of like, what in the world is going on? That we walk through it together. We talk through it together. We get more enlightenment through each other. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know everything. You already knew that. But there are some things, you know, that I need help with. I need some more. You guys have done this longer than me, some of you, okay? You've been through a lot more than I have. So, in that revelation, that divine act, divine inspiration guarantees the truthfulness of God's word, but not the accuracy of some interpretations. And we always do have to put God's word in the context for which it was written. The time, the place, the people, the culture, too. Because it was completely different. But it is the word of God. The most steady, the most consistent thing you will ever have in your life is the word of God. It never changes. It is the same as it was yesterday, today, and it is ever will be. And if you are looking for consistency, if you're looking for stability, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for any of those things, the only thing that will be able to fill that missing piece is the word of God in your life. The only thing. Amen? It is the word of God. Our next verse, it tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Before Jesus came into our lives, before accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we were God's enemies. We were at war with God. And through Jesus, he has drawn us close and made us his friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. We are in need of that righteousness of Christ. And that, I'm going to use a word, imputed. I know it sounds weird, but we had an account. We still have an account. And before we met Jesus and before we accepted him, our account was in the red. It was negative. And what Christ does is when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he transfers, he makes a deposit of his righteousness into our account. He imputes that. The way that Jesus' obedience that meets the demand of what is required of God. And we cannot do that by our actions, by our good works. It is impossible for us to meet God's standards without Jesus Christ. But you can be as good as a person. You can do all these good works, all these good things. But apart from Jesus Christ, you have idle hands. And we are sinners by nature. That first, when it says, for by one man's disobedience, that is talking about Adam and the garden where he took up the fruit. Gosh darn it. We all paid the price for it. And by one man's obedience, and that one man, capital M, is Jesus Christ, we are made righteous because of his obedience. Sin affects us to the very core of our being, and no matter how good we try to be, we will never meet the perfection standard. And the Bible says that all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, and our own attempts at goodness are just simply not good enough. And on the cross, Jesus took our sin upon himself and purchased our salvation. We have been justified by the blood. Amen. We have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul says it this way, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's no one like him. No one else would be able to do for us what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And I will very much dare to say no one else would be willing. No one else would be willing to do that much for us on this side of heaven than Jesus did on this earth. He gives us so much of himself. And by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, that righteousness is given to all who believe. Not just the good ones. Not just the ones, you know, that are out there getting it on, building his kingdom come. It says all. All who've accepted Jesus Christ receive his righteousness. So don't go thinking you're better, because it is not by your works. It's by Christ's righteousness that he gives. Amen, amen, and amen. And I am the head and not the tail. Here it is. I am the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy 28:13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above all, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them. Pastor Jeff really never used to pray from the New King James Version, but he used some of the New King James Version for writing this. Okay. So I am the head and not the tail. In Deuteronomy, and we're going back to the Old Testament, so travel back with me for a moment. Moses' last address to the people of Israel before his death is Deuteronomy. And in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, all of those that had came out of Egypt, all of those that had been enslaved in Egypt, they had passed. So there is a new generation that did not see the mighty works of God's hands. They didn't see the frogs. They weren't there for the plagues. They weren't there in Goshen, you know, where God protected them from everything that he plagued the Egyptians. They had a Goshen. They were not touched. Okay, so we have a new generation that didn't see that. They didn't see the Red Sea parting and their ancestors walking on the dry land, and then the Egyptians are coming, and by golly, they were chasing after them with everything they had. They didn't see where God said, okay, waters come back together, and every one of the Egyptians were taken out. They didn't see that. So Moses is speaking to this new generation. He's telling them, reminding them, calling into their spirit all that God had done, the wondrous works on their behalf, blessings that they can expect if they obey the Lord, and the curses, because there's always a blessing and a curse. When you go through the Old Testament, that's a big thing. There's a blessing and there's a curse. And one of the blessings Moses lists is the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. That by living under God's authority, living under his agenda, really meaning your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord. Meaning that, letting him in your plans, inviting him into your life, leading you, guiding you, directing you. And you know, Piper's tail wags. I don't know if you have a dog or not. Her tail is as long as her body, and she's long. I mean, she can't control her tail. It just wags, wags, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So much so that sometimes her whole body moves with her tail. It's out of control, and it doesn't go anywhere. There is no progression. It just wags back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's no progress made with that tail. Does it bring me joy? That's another story. Not part of this illustration. But it just goes out, back. And what Moses is saying is that is your life. When being controlled by sin, it's a tail. It's at the back end. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. That has been my life. That was my life. Making no progress, staying right where I'm at. My life was like the waves crashing in the sea, going back and forth. Living by our own fleshly will, living by the world standards and thinking we are the tail. If that is what our life reflects, we are the tail. We're at the butt end. And we're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we're not making progress and we're never going to go anywhere if that is how you live your life. Living as the head, living under God's authority, living according to his agenda, according to his commands, inviting him to lead you, inviting him to help you, praying for his wisdom, reading his word. It says you're the head. You're the head. You're not the tail. You're going forward. You're looking ahead. You have direction. You're not like the waves crashing in the sea. You have a purpose and you know where you're going because God is lighting your steps, directing your steps. You're not the butt end of the tail. You're the head. Amen. Amen. And since I'm a joint heir, Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Another translation, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. So, an heir. Jesus, God said, Christ's inheritance is the whole universe, all that is in existence. And Hebrews 1 says the Son has been appointed heir of all things. So being a co-heir with Christ, because we have been adopted into his family, we become a part of God's family. We were drafted into his family through Jesus Christ because we were a part. We were, when we were living in our darkness, living in our sin, living in our pit, we were separated from God. But then when we came to Jesus Christ, we became joint heirs. We became the family of God. And he does not withhold from his children. He does not withhold one good thing from his children. We are heirs to all that had been promised to Christ. We are heirs to that because of Christ. All the things, it says that in all in the heavenly realms, we have been given these things. Accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:6, all that belongs to Jesus Christ will belong to us. Everything that God owns belongs to you and me through Jesus Christ. Our eternity inheritance as co-heirs with Christ is the result of his amazing grace. And what grace that is. Jillian was in a play in middle school, a musical play, Annie. It was so good. She was such a good little, what, Mrs. Greer? You were one of the housekeepers? Yeah, you remember. That story of Annie. Y'all know what Annie I'm talking about, the musical Annie. Okay, that gives us a perfect picture. That illustration of becoming an heir of God. Annie moves from being an orphan. We were orphans without a father when we lived in our darkness and our sin. And then she moves into that Warbucks mansion. And there was an incredible change. She leaves behind a spiteful, alcoholic caretaker and enters into a relationship with a caring father. She goes from having no possessions to having a fortune at her disposal. And she wanted to share it. All those girls at the orphanage, she wanted to go and share what she had received. The hard knock life, overcome by the brightness of a sunny tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow. And when we put our trust, our faith, and we put on that Christ vision glasses, Annie gives us a glimpse of what being a co-heir with Christ means. We share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. We share inheritance. In Christ Jesus, you once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God took us, poor orphan in this world, and made us part of his family through Jesus Christ. And we are showered. We are lavished with his blessings. We are lavished with his love and his grace and his mercy. And he will not withhold one good thing. He will not withhold a good thing from us. According to his word, according to his will. Amen. You are an heir. You are an heir to his throne. Don't let anybody else tell you any different. Since I am an heir to the throne of glory. Revelations 3:21. I will invite everyone who is victorious to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. And that's from Revelation 3:21 through 22. In Revelation, in each of the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor recorded in the book of Revelations, there is a promise to him who overcomes. And Jesus is the giver of those promises. Jesus is the giver of our promises. And it says, how do we become an overcomer? What is it that makes us an overcomer? And it says that they overcame and conquered him, the enemy, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounce their faith, even when faced with death. They were conquerors by the word of their testimony and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone in this place this morning that has a testimony? That's how you become a conqueror, is by the word of your testimony. And some of us, by golly, by George, he did not withhold a good testimony from us. Amen. We overcame. We are overcomers through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we walk our testimony, when we become living, breathing, walking testimonies of Jesus Christ and what he's done for our life. So what can we expect at God's throne? What does that mean? What is at the throne of God? That I would want to be there, that I would want to come to his throne. God's throne is a place of power and authority. If you come to the throne of God, you can expect his power and authority to come into whatever it is in your life that you're coming to him with. Oh, I need you to understand this. Because I didn't at one point in my life. I would come into this church alone when nobody was here, in the pit, in the darkness of that point in my life, not knowing that when I came to that altar, to coming to his throne, the power and authority that he would have over my circumstances. I could not have overcome it without that power and authority. Amen. supernatural power and authority, things that you would never ever be able to do on your own, He has the power and authority to accomplish His will in your life. The prophet Malachi, God's throne room in which the Spirit begins to stand in attendance. And we see it also in the book of Job, where God demands answers from the angelic beings, that throne room where there is authority. Oh, He has authority over all. Nothing comes to you in this life without coming through Him first. What else can we expect at the throne of God? God's throne is a place of majesty and honor. The Bible says that when Jesus ascended to heaven, He sat at the right hand of the throne of God. And there's no higher place than heaven. God is the King of heaven, and Jesus holds the place of honor at God's right hand. Is there anybody else that you want to be on that throne that holds perfect justice, that holds perfect righteousness, that holds perfect peace, loving kindness, goodness, grace, and mercy? Would you want anybody else on that throne? I wouldn't. God's throne is a place of perfect justice. He has prepared His throne for judgment, but the Lord will remain and sit enthroned forever. He has prepared and established His throne. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the nations with fairness. The Lord also will be a refuge and a stronghold for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Are any of you in trouble? Any of you feel oppressed? Anyone feel pushed to the margins? You come boldly to the throne of God and His righteousness, a stronghold, a refuge. Those who know your name will have their confidence and trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not abandoned those who seek you. He is faithful to a sincere seeker. You seek after Him, seek after whatever it is you're looking for. He never disappoints a seeker. God's throne is a place of sovereignty and holiness. God reigns over the nations. He is seated on His holy throne. God's throne is a place of praise. Amen. Oh, I cannot wait. The place of praise. In his vision, John gives us in Revelation of heaven includes a scene in which a new song is sung in praise in the presence of God on His throne. And it is glorious. It will be something we have never seen. It'll be something we've never experienced. If you love Sunday morning, you're going to love the praise at His throne. Amen. Amen. God's throne is a place of purity. All the dissension, the deceit, the sin of this world. God's throne is a place of purity, holiness. God's throne is a place of eternal life. Greatest promise that we will ever receive is that promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ and the throne of grace. And today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. And we're not doing the transforming. It's a good thing, because I'd quit. I would have quit a long time ago. You're not dependent to do your own transforming to be more like Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit working within us that we are transformed to be more like Christ. We don't do it alone. We have a partner. He gives us the will. We long to be more like Christ when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Him. And it says in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, and not the ability to wait, but how we act while we wait. Have you ever been in a long line waiting for food because you're hungry and they're doing online orders ahead of you and you're standing there? I'm sorry. I get a little big head and I think, I'm here in person. I've made the effort to come in here, do my order, not the ones that aren't coming in. Now, how am I not showing Christ-like patience. I want to be more like Christ. Christ-like patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Aren't those the attributes of Christ that the Holy Spirit give that should be evident, that fruit should be evident? And yeah, we have flesh too. And sometimes our flesh, we got to check ourselves. And it's like, you know what? I'm not reflecting that. It tells us exactly how Jesus lived his life, the fruits of his Spirit. And we got to recall those things to be more like him. I don't want to be like everybody else in this world. Isn't everybody else in this world impatient? And it's such a revelation when somebody shows kindness, right? Their video, oh, look, you know, and it's because we're in a drought. Our culture, our society is in a drought of loving kindness. It's in a drought of joy. And it shouldn't be when there are people like us sitting in this pew that have been transformed through Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be like that. Amen. Amen. To be more like Christ, to transform the world, obeying him. And when we grow in our knowledge of God by reading our Bible, studying it, being obedient to what it says, that causes us to grow. And only when we have entered heaven for eternity with God does that process reach the end. We should always be moving towards that goal. It never stops. And we're always going to learn a lesson. Because I'm always going to be impatient in traffic. But I'm going to check myself. Be like, you know what? Calm down. I want to be more like Christ. Amen? God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Amen? Does that help you understand a lot of it this morning? Why you're the head and not the tail? Why you don't want to be the butt end of it? You don't want to be the tail, right? And it just doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Okay, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come, and after receiving that this morning, the importance that it is to take that time of reverence before we enter into studying your Word and your Scripture, Lord, that we want to do it prayerfully. We want to come to you asking you for your wisdom, asking you to reveal to us what it is that you have for us in your Word, and to seek what it says. That we're not depending on what someone else tells us it says. We are depending on you and the power of the Holy Spirit to be our guide through it, because it's your word and the Holy Spirit knows what you say and what you think, because you're one. And we thank you so much for the truth that your word says, that we are made righteous through Jesus Christ, that you love us so much, you gave us your son to die for us on the cross, and that by his blood that was shed, we are made righteous through Jesus Christ, that we are heirs to the throne of glory, that all things that were given to Jesus, we also are inheritance of that. Thank you, Jesus, because we would never, ever be able to have the things if it weren't for you, if it weren't for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, and that we may come boldly to your throne of glory, that throne where we receive forgiveness, that throne that we receive the authority that you have over all things. All things are under your authority, whatever we're facing in our lives. When we come to you asking for you to intervene, oh Lord, you come with a mighty army to save. That's at your throne. Peace, grace, purity, praise, glory is at your throne. Amen. We thank you in Jesus' name. It is the word of God. It tells you that you are made righteous through Jesus Christ, that you are the head and not the tail, and that you are joint heirs to the throne of glory. And allow what it says to transform you to be more like Christ, because this world is in desperate, desperate need of it. Now leave this place. Act like you have a daddy who cares, that he sent his son to do all these things for you, so you represent him as you leave this place. Amen. Amen. Now go out in peace and come back in his great, great love.